The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Welcome to Stunt Granny Audio number 239. We are about closing in on 250. With me again is Dusty Gaming. How you doing, Dusty?
Oh, howdy do. It's the weekend for me, so I'm very happy. Resentful laugh of a person who has two more days and 16 more hours to work. That's what you just heard, folks.
Well, you know, that's kind of funny, though. We were just kind of talking about it before we before I hit record. Mm-hmm. It's kind of slow at my office right now. So, I mean, it's really not that tough to go in there.
Sure.
And especially when I am kind of having fun with the new Revit there, just being able to do the drawings in 3D. It's still kind of a novelty act for me, even though I feel like I'm doing well with it at this point.
Sure. The learning.
So,
it can be hard every time you're learning something new, some new program. So.
Yeah, no, it is a pretty decent jump since I hadn't really done any type of 3D work.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it was kind of a first. I had kind of kept on holding it off, but this program makes it really fucking simple.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah. So, I guess I have two more days, but it's not going to be hard labor, that's for sure.
Well, then, right on. That's the best way to do it. There's nothing worse than a job where you wake up in the morning and you're like, oh, God, I got to go back, you know? That's just the worst, so.
Yeah, no,
you know,
and I don't have that even when things are busy, so I don't really mind.
Well, that's great, yeah. Not everybody is so lucky, so, you know.
Yep.
In times of hardship, we look down on those less fortunate than us.
Yep, take what you have and have it and enjoy it, I guess.
That's it.
Oh,
like anyone
man.
To watch his wrestling at this point is less fortunate than I. But we'll get there.
Yeah, no, that's why our main topic, of course, is going to be coaches gone crazy.
Yeah. No, and I can hear people complaining now. This is a wrestling show. Why aren't you starting off with a wrestling topic? Well. I mean, if you're saying that, you don't know anything about what this show is about, you know? Like, we're the circus, and we got a big wide net, you know, the big tent, and
yeah. People
are coming to see the bearded lady, and some of them are coming to see the strong man, and, you know, we talk about whatever, you know? So just, I apologize if you don't care about, like, sports and coaches and stuff, but it's interesting to us. And it's more like just wacky behavior than anything. So I think everybody can relate to that.
Yeah, no, I got to talk about my wacky behavior of my dogs last week, and that was
fun. Yeah, exactly. To me, that's what makes this show so special. I loved that show last week, me talking about that stuff and me getting to rant about the idiot I work with. I mean, I don't think we've ever done a better show than last week because of that, you know? That stuff is what I look forward to talking about. So,
yeah, no, it's definitely something to look forward to. I'm completely fine with the whatever because the whatever landed me something that I'm not sure I can mention quite yet, which is kind of awesome.
Ooh, what a tease that was. Okay.
Yeah, no, there may be something special about beverages soon. So
Gotcha. Okay.
I think that's fine enough. So and
I
I couldn't believe it. I was looking up old articles today because I knew there were a couple that I hadn't marked because we didn't have the beer reviews listed on the site yet.
Yep.
And when I actually posted on Tuesday, it was that was the year mark. That's when I wrote my first article last year.
Okay.
Because you were the one that suggested on our 200th show that we wouldn't be completely wrestling by the time if we did another
Absolutely.
if we did another 200, it wouldn't be about wrestling. So there we go. We've at least had a year of this conversation. So if people are
Exactly.
still hanging around, good. If they're not, fuck off.
Well, right. I mean, we're not for everyone. And if you want hard news, you go to the Observer. And you want views by a complete imbecile, you go to Figure Four Weekly. And, there's something for everyone out there. So, we don't pretend to be like worldwide mainstream. We got a little niche audience, and I love the people that like us. So, I'm happy in my little corner of the universe.
Yep. Oh. And you know what? That is something that I can mention, going back to my beer. My our one friend, she's from Wisconsin. I'm trying to think of where in Wisconsin she's from.
Okay.
But she brought me back a mixed 12-pack of beers from Wisconsin. And she said that she actually brought some back that were not that she hadn't even tried yet.
Okay.
So,
My friend Rikishi. In beautiful, lovely downtown, rustic, scenic Duarte, California, swears by New Glarus. So,
oh,
hasn't
Peel,
been to a.
Wisconsin, if you have any idea where that is.
Where is it? What is it?
Peel, Wisconsin.
Spell it?
KIEL.
Never heard of it.
The
Looking it up and hoping you keep talking for a while.
population is 3738 at the 2010 census.
Okay.
It's in Manitowoc County, adjacent to Calumet County. This is what Wikipedia is telling me about Keel City. And it looks like it's kind of
Okay.
near
I've been there. Yep,
the
yep. I've
lower
been.
thumb portion of your mitt.
It's not super close to me, but I've been there. I've been there, so.
So yeah, that will definitely. I forgot about that. So I'll have maybe another 12 beers from Wisconsin to throw up there. I've had the New Glarus before because they brought it back for me the last time they went up, but
Okay.
it had honestly been so long. I didn't take pictures of the beers and I didn't post about them on Instagram, so I was completely fucked for a memory as to what they tasted like. So I
Okay.
didn't feel like I could review them.
Sure, fair enough.
So
If
I'm
you ever get a
glad.
chance again, I don't
Yeah,
know
no,
fuck
I
all
think.
about beer, but I know Keish likes the New Glarus, so there you go.
Yeah. So hopefully that'll be in that package.
Right on.
But I suppose. My coach wanted me to do some drinking this week. I don't know if we want to start with him or with one of the other guys.
Oh, we definitely got to start with your coach. Because just that guy is a clown, man. And just, I mean, in a way, I kind of respect it because you sort of, all right, well, let's start out with telling people what happened. I mean, let's start at the start because I can't assume that everybody knows what we're talking about. So there's a kick return, and Kevin's favorite team is the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they were playing what was it, the Ravens?
Yeah, the Baltimore Ravens.
The Baltimore Ravens. They hated rivals, so this is a big game for both teams. And, you know, there's a kick return, and Jacoby Jones is a really good kick returner, and I'm sure fantasy geeks know that. So he's running for daylight, and Tomlin, who's not even looking at the field, he's looking up at the monitor, the big screen, and, like, blithely walking backwards. Am I right about this? Stop me if I'm wrong here. But he's blithely walking backwards and actually steps onto the field of play to alter Jacoby Jones's route and try to impede his route to the end zone, stopping him from scoring a touchdown. That was the goal there. And, you know, and now 5 days later, Tomlin finally issued some kind of an apology where he didn't really apologize. He apologized for the perception of what people think might have happened. So, you know, that was some verbal gymnastics on his part. But, you know, I'd be interested to hear your take on it. I just think the guy is kind of a clown for doing it, which is weird because, like, he's one of the best coaches in football. So, just an odd instance of him kind of losing his mind there.
There are a couple of things, like, it's kind of funny because, unfortunately, this is the kind of thing, I kind of talked about it in my, I guess, my English Premier League review show post, where I prefer my sports without soap opera storylines.
Okay.
And so to have this swirling around a team that I like is always just a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I can't ignore it.
Right.
And it's kind of a perfect example. Because I didn't really see anything about Bo Pelini not before we had mentioned covering him within this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe about a week ago or something like that he was acting like a clown. Like, and now I pull up on YouTube, like, almost every news conference from this season.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just a story that I didn't follow at all. But when it's the team that you follow, you really don't have a choice.
You're right. If you're into any kind of Steelers news, this is all you've been hearing for the last week.
And there are certainly two other matters that that are of far greater concern to me.
Mm-hmm.
One of which happened in that game. The fact that a running back can have his helmet popped off by two gentlemen aiming at his head.
Mm-hmm.
How that cannot be a story.
Yep.
Coming out of that game is unbelievable to me. Like, I understand covering Tomlin.
Yeah.
It happened.
But it has clouded everything. Not just other Steelers news. The Vernon Davis story is getting buried because of Tomlin, you know?
Oh.
It's ridiculous.
And didn't he get grabbed in the junk?
He got tackled by the junk, for those who don't know what I'm talking about. Pretty sure this has never happened in football before, because I got a feeling like if it did, we'd know about it. So the 49ers are playing the Rams, and some Ram defensive guy grabbed him by the junk and held on for a good 5 to 10 seconds during the whole process of tackling him. He was tackled by the junk. And that's not a bigger story because people are more worried about Tomlin being a clown, which is just amazing to me because he got tackled by the junk. So...
Yeah, no, because the whole Tomlin side story is going on, I remember you mentioning something in an email, and I heard it on one of the radio shows that I listen to.
Sure.
But I never, I don't know if I want to see it.
No. Mm-mm. No. Nope. Nope, nope, nope.
And
here's the thing, if there's any females listening to this show, and I don't know why on earth there would be, but if there is, like, you just don't understand. Anything happens to a guy's junk, every guy in the world feels it. Okay? Like, even if it's somebody, your most hated rival in the world, if he gets hit in the junk, you're like, oh, man. So, no, you don't want to see it.
Yeah, and I still, at least with him, I go, I'm sorry, but how are you not wearing a cup out there? Like,
yep.
There are some things that it's just like, you know what, because you can tell that a lot of the guys don't wear great leg pads. It's
mm-hmm.
mostly the shoulder pads and the rib pads at this point.
Yep.
Hip pads haven't been around for like a decade, basically.
Mm-hmm.
At least. So, I mean, you know, that stuff is just like, whatever, it's been going away. But why are you playing
exactly.
without a cup on? Like,
exactly. Like, you gotta, like, not that you expect it to happen, but you got to anticipate maybe somebody grazes up against it, maybe somebody, like, hits it accidentally. You have to be prepared.
Yeah, I mean, you're in a contact sport, and yeah, you're going to think that it's going to at least get grazed at some point. Or
yep.
you fall on it wrong. I mean, he's a receiver. He might lay out for one. And
yep.
the landing might hurt a little bit more than normal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely true.
So, oh my gosh.
So I think he learned a lesson at the very least.
Yeah,
you know?
No. I my honest first impression when I saw it was that he knew what he was doing, but
mm-hmm.
I still don't think I think Cortez Allen had the line on the guy
mm-hmm.
on Jones, and I think he gets maybe about 5 more yards or something if Tomlin isn't there.
I guess, like, one of the criticisms I have is you got to trust your players in that spot, you know?
And
to
the
me,
other
it's kind of like my team needs my help kind of thing, and I that rubs me the wrong way too, you know?
Well, and a couple of things that at least support his line of thinking, at least that
mm-hmm.
I've read. Well, and I even kind of thought about this, like when I just went to, and they, not that they were playing in Baltimore,
yep.
So it wasn't Heinz Field, but I just went to Heinz Field this past week to watch Miami smack around Pitt.
Okay.
And
yep.
there was the one sideline reporter that's that I read that said, you know, it's sometimes I'm looking up at the scoreboard, and I honestly, you know, even though I've been down there for, you know, dozens and dozens of games,
mm-hmm.
you know, there are times where I'm looking up at the scoreboard and I'll lose track of where I am, where I'm at.
Okay.
And
okay.
I was just like, okay. you know, and then I started thinking about it, and there were times where I was looking up, and when I was at Heinz Field, I was looking up at the scoreboard
yeah.
a couple of times, because those things are just huge now.
Right, yeah. Yeah, the Cowboys started this trend where they have to be like the size of 3 countries. Yeah, so...
Yeah, and I mean, I know that one isn't as big as the one in Dallas, and it would be cool to see that one in Dallas.
Right, but, you know.
but whatever. I'm not going to go out of my way to hit Dallas quite yet.
Right. I mean, make me go to Dallas, you know? Make me go to Dallas. But anyway.
Yeah. There were a couple of times where I kind of forgot which end of the field the play was on, and I don't know if that supports, like, the disorientation theory or not. And it still doesn't mean, because the one tape certainly looks like he slid over to the right-hand side. And I still don't think he quite, he had the smallest blade of white grass to the right of his foot.
Right.
But he certainly did alter Jones' trajectory a little bit. Whether it was whether it's intentional or not, and you know, if you know that you're going to get lost doing something like that, if you need to stay further away from that area, obviously.
That's exactly.
And the other thing that they mentioned was that no one had returned a kick more than 50 yards on the Steelers, so he was actually. What was it, 10 yards past where anyone had returned a kick on the Steelers.
Okay.
So he was kind of one of the few decent things about the team this year has been special teams outside of the punter.
Sure.
Punters have been pretty terrible except for Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
But the kickoffs have been pretty tight, and Sweetson's a good kicker for the most part. He missed two big field goals, but, I mean, those are the only two field goals he's missed all season, so.
Can't get too mad at two misses. That's not a big deal.
Oh, and I forgot, he kind of botched one there in Baltimore.
Okay.
Two, where he started walking towards the ball sooner than the snap came.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you can't get mad at the other one.
The Steelers. They're not. Even if they get into the playoffs, they're not doing anything.
See, that's the same thing where we're at down here in Miami. You know, everybody thinks like you're just going to let that slide. Okay. All right. So down here in Miami, you know, everybody thinks like, well, we might get 8-8, 9-7. We might slip into the last wild card spot, but everybody knows we're going to lose in the first round, you know. And I got to imagine it's the same thing in Pittsburgh. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's still a shot. I don't think that would have cost Baltimore the game or anything like that, and I don't think it cost them points. Like I said, I honestly feel like Cortez Allen had a good line on him and was gaining on him, and
sure.
He probably would have had him at some point. So, I mean, I don't think it was going in. And I guess that's the other thing that, at least to me, is kind of big in that situation. Like, that part didn't get talked about. But and then the other part for the Steelers, it overshadowed, and again the same one of the reporters that I read, the Steelers lost their center again.
Yep.
To an Achilles injury, and honest to God, like I was just like, oh my gosh, like the first week that he was in there, I was like, he might be their best offensive lineman this week.
Okay.
In week two, I was just like, Jesus Christ, he might be their best lineman at this moment. So to have Pouncey go out is bad enough. And then to somehow have the good fortune of a guy that started all of the games at Tennessee last year at center. So, I mean, it's not like the guy didn't at least have some experience. And I think he'd been in the league for a couple of years prior to that.
Okay.
He kind of falls into your lap because Tennessee cut him, and you basically have a guy who's game ready like the first week that he's in there.
Right.
And he'd only gotten better since then. So it's just like, oh my gosh, like they somehow luck into finding another good center.
Yeah.
And he blew out his Achilles, and he is definitely out.
Oh, that's brutal.
So, you know what, Tomlin, you know, be he an intentional clown or an unintentional clown, definitely drew all of the attention. And for any type of playoff hopes, that's kind of important. And then David DeCastro, who took out Pouncey, and who seems to finally be coming into his own, is going to be out this week.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, the last couple of years, I can't believe how many offensive linemen they've gone through.
Yeah, right. That used to be such a strength for the team.
Yeah, I mean, they just, and I mean, there's been some guys, like, I kind of liked the line coming into this year, and then to have all this go down, and, you know, it barely passed the halfway point.
Yeah.
It's just brutal. It's just like, you can't win when this shit's happening.
Oh, yeah. It's just a perfect storm of a mess piling up. Here's the other thing I wanted to bring up, though. Whether you think it was intentional or not, you have to agree with me that the NFL is going way too far on penalizing the Steelers because of it. I mean, they're talking about taking draft picks. I think that's just asinine.
Yeah, that part was, I was like, the only thing that I thought to myself is, since it says pending, I can't believe that they're going to do it. Like, I'm just like, come on. Like, there was, like, proof that, and the only thing I could think of was Spygate, where there was known footage that was given to the NFL, at least I think.
Yep. No.
That showed that they had actually taped them. And, you know, as long as Tomlin doesn't fess up, honestly, it's always going to be one of those things that's going to be questioned.
Right, exactly.
It's kind of like in no way nearly as large, but obviously I remembered just reading recently that Al Michaels said that John Madden always hated going into Pittsburgh, because it reminded him of the Immaculate Reception every time he went there, even after Three Rivers Stadium was taken down.
Sure. The ghosts are still there, you know.
So yeah, it's not going to ever come to that kind of a scale for this, but it certainly has that kind of a, if Franco Harris doesn't talk and doesn't really say anything. Someone else who had a good angle on it, I forget who it is from the Steelers that could have said whether he caught it or not. As long as they just say, hey, no, it happened. It happened. Like, you know, when there's no footage and nothing like that. And with Tomlin, you've just got to kind of take his word that, you know, he didn't. But, you know, it, like I said, to me, it seemed awfully fishy at the time.
Sure, of course. I mean, that's kind of human nature to always expect the worst, anyway.
Yeah. So.
But,
but yeah, no, missing the two offensive linemen, and again, the double helmet shot, I don't care. The NFL kind of always says that we're trying to take care of these guys.
Yeah.
I don't understand why running backs are allowed to be hit in the head.
Yeah.
I just I don't get that.
Well, I don't think the NFL cares at all about anything other than making money. And I also think that the NFL hates the Steelers for whatever reason. No.
Yeah, well, $100,000, I'm sure they can deal with.
sure,
the draft pick
sure.
thing, if it comes about, will be completely ridiculous.
Yep. Yep. Totally agree.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess we mentioned him already. Bo Pelini was
yeah.
In the news, too, for, well, he seemed to have gone off on his job,
mm-hmm.
on the officials, and
yeah.
I still don't even have a full catalog of what he's gone off on, and I feel
okay.
like I need to catch up.
Okay, well, I'll do my best here, but, you know, maybe it's just because I have anger management issues myself. I've gone through that, but I totally get where Bo Pelini's coming from on, like, everything. I can justify every single thing he's done. I think he's in the right 100%. You know, and you can disagree with me, that's fine. I'm not going to argue with it, I mean, you know. But I just, this
right.
is what I'm looking for. I hate listening to a Bill Belichick press conference, okay? I'll use him as the example. He says nothing, ever. The next interesting thing he says will be the first out of his fucking mouth. Same thing down here in Miami. Joe Philbin never says anything the least bit interesting. He doesn't give you anything in a press conference. So I'm not saying you all have to be like Bo Pelini, but be yourself. Say something. Why are you so scared to say something? So kudos to Bo Pelini for actually saying how he felt about things. And so, you know, at halftime of the game, a reporter comes up to him and asks him how he feels about missed field goals. And he goes, what a stupid question. How the hell do you think I feel? Right? He's pissed off about it. You're like, what a dumb question. Like, and yeah, maybe he shouldn't have yelled at the reporter because the reporter's just out there to, like, get a sound bite. He's just doing his job, and I guess, like, yeah, you know, okay, it's not his fault. But it was an asinine, stupid question. He's pissed off about it. So then, you know, and then there was some, you know, there was a call. It was a bullshit call against his team. And at the press conference, he called it a chicken shit call. Because basically, I guess the feeling he got was that the official knew he made a mistake, but he couldn't take it back because then he would look bad about it. That's how Pelini interpreted what happened, and basically, if you've seen the play, you're kind of, you know, you got to agree with him. And it's just,
gotcha.
Yeah, that's chicken shit. He called it a chicken shit call, and it was. It was just bullshit. You know, it was just some official trying to make himself look better. And the other issue was the athletic director has basically hung him out on a stick, you know, like a carrot for the media to consume, not commenting on his job status. And, yeah, that's bullshit, too, because, you know, it's like you need to know whether you're going to have a job next year. You know, you'd like to – that's valuable information to have. So for the athletic director to keep no commenting, oh, we'll evaluate at the end of the season, which is basically is usually code for I'm going to fire you. Like, grow some balls and say it, you know? So it's just storm of crap mounting up for Bo Pelini, and he couldn't take it anymore. So I understand where he was coming from.
Yeah, some of the candidness that Pelini has, you want the athletic director to have, too.
Right, well, I mean, when it comes to your job, you know?
Yeah, no, and it's such a public setting, and I mentioned this in the email. I just, to me, it's still incredible that it's just like, you didn't get the job done. You only had twice as many wins as losses, and it's just like,
yeah, they won 8 out of 12 games. Almost anywhere you go, that's considered excellent. But because he coaches at a football factory, they got to be 12-0 every season, you know?
Yeah, and, like, I'm trying to think, because was Bill Callahan there before him and everyone ran him out of town?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he did very well, and they really hadn't done that well since Osborne had left.
Right. Exactly.
And, like, they popped up every now and again, but they really didn't have any consistent winning until Pelini came around. So
yep.
That's another one where it's just like, dude, whatever, he had a bad recruiting class or something like that. Like, I mean,
yeah.
I haven't done enough looking into it, but...
Right.
You know, maybe he just, you know, it's just kind of a down year. But, I mean, that's not bad for a down year.
Not at all.
Christmas.
8 wins out of 12, and they're probably going to a bowl game. And that's a lot of money for the school. And, yeah, it was a pretty good year. Like, you know, a lot of teams would kill for 8 wins in a bowl appearance.
Yeah, and, I mean, they're not really good enough. To play Michigan State or to beat Michigan State or Ohio State. So, I mean,
mm-hmm.
You know, whatever. Like, even
yeah.
if they were better, they still wouldn't be that good.
Right, right.
Yeah,
and I read a quote. I can't remember who the player was, but some player said, you know, he liked Bellini so much that he would go put with Pelini to the gates of hell and play a game against Satan and a team of demons. if Pelini asked him to. So the players obviously have no problem playing with Pelini. And it's just, I don't know, it's such a lame thing to do to a guy, you know, a guy who's doing his job by all accounts that I can see pretty well, you know.
Yeah, and now I pulled up their schedule.
Yeah.
Two of the four losses, one was the UCLA, who I'm not sure what the hell they're ranked right now, but, and they lost to Michigan State, were
yeah.
two of their losses. And the other one was Minnesota, who I think is actually doing kind of okay this year.
Mm-hmm.
And Iowa.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, Minnesota was 6-2 at that point.
Right. Not a bad loss.
Like, three of the four losses weren't bad. Maybe the Iowa loss was bad.
Right, exactly.
That doesn't make any goddamn sense whatsoever.
Right, right. So, yeah, I just think, like, what you got there was a guy pushed to the breaking point, you know? And everybody gets to that point sometimes, but a guy like Belichick wouldn't say shit. And Pelini is the guy that will tell you how he feels, and if he's pissed off about something, he's going to let you know. And it's refreshing.
Yeah, no, I always think it's amusing. I love it when this stuff happens. And
sure.
I do still, just because they end up getting more attention out of it, I still do think that behind the scenes, ESPN's throwing up the high fives when this stuff happens.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is the kind of stuff you dream about when you're a journalist. Happy news doesn't sell, you know? Oh, today
yep.
it was rainbows and sunshine, and, you know, Johnny helped an old lady cross the street. You know, no, that's not what the news is, you know?
Yeah, no, it is not.
Yeah.
Oh, man, and that's it. I was just like, oh, my gosh, maybe I should get moving on this other the other coach, because I didn't really read much about this one either.
Okay.
Because you definitely watch far more of the NBA than I do.
Yeah, I love basketball. It's my second favorite sport, and since baseball is hibernating right now, it's what I got to watch, and I'm really into it. And Jason Kidd, it's funny. Jason Kidd You know, maybe Mike Tomlin is a clown, maybe not. Maybe it was justified. Maybe it was an accident. What Jason Kidd did, he's a total clown. And maybe you don't like that. You don't want the circus. I love the circus when it's not involving my team, you know?
Well,
the circus is with the Nets, and I can watch it from afar and go, yeah, I love the circus, you know? So.
Yeah, no, there's certainly some circuses that that I'll tune into.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I just kind of, I was like, oh, that's kind of hilarious. Like,
that was my first thought, too, yeah.
Like, because I was just like, oh, my gosh, really? Like, because he, and I'm pretty sure this is it, he spilled his water so that, because they were out of timeouts, so that he could huddle up his team for a final play.
Let's break this down. Just to interrupt you real quick, I'll break it down for people who don't know, and I'll set the table for you. So the Nets are out of timeouts. And really, I should start at the start here. The Nets in the offseason acquired a lot of big-name guys, spent a whole hell of a lot of money, probably illegally. They're owned by a billionaire Russian guy who's probably in the mob. And so this will probably be the last audio I do with you, Kevin, and it was nice knowing you. But he's probably in the mob, and he's a bazillionaire. And the contract he gave Andre Kirilenko, and I'm not going to go into it, but you can Google it. It's ridiculous. And they obviously have some kind of side deal going on. So that was corrupt as hell. But he acquired all these big-name guys, and they're trying to win a championship this year. They're trying to win prontissimo, as Howard Stern would say. The only problem is, they wanted to hire Phil Jackson as their coach. But Phil Jackson took one look at their roster and said, I'm going to sit out for another year, thank you. So they ended up hiring, and this is always a terrible move. When you're trying to win this year, hire a guy who's never coached in his life. Terrible move right off the bat, and you knew in retrospect that the Nets season was doomed because instead of Phil Jackson, they ended up with Jason Kidd, who was a great player in his day, but doesn't have a single second of coaching experience, so obviously it's not going to work out. But here is actually what could be interpreted as a cagey move. They're playing the Lakers, and they're out of timeouts. And so in order to buy a timeout, Jason Kidd wandered onto the court during a break in the action, holding a cup of Coke. This is the smoking gun, folks. Nobody in basketball drinks out of a cup anymore. It looks so weird to see him holding a cup. Like, right away in retrospect, you had to know something is weird here. That he's holding a cup instead of a bottle or whatever, you know? So he wanders out onto the court and gets near one of his players. And if you watch the tape of this 80 million times like I did, you can see him mouth, "Hit me." And so the player turns his shoulder, bumps into him, and oops, the drink goes spilling onto the court. So now there's a big break in action because the court has to be cleaned up to finish the game. And essentially Jason Kidd bought his team an extra timeout. Your thoughts.
That is, I love like a Three Stooges skit on an NBA.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just, it's so funny and childish.
Yep.
I mean, are you not entertained? That's all I can think.
It's so Bush League, man. But, you know, I mean, if you get away with it, if they believe that it was an accident and don't fine you, then I guess it's a good move. But nobody's going to believe that it was an accident. So, And he got fined $50,000 for it. So.
Yeah, no, that was the other thing. I was like, I wonder what they're, because I was just thinking, I was like, okay, I'm pretty sure kids' fine was 50. I was like, I wonder what his salary is compared to Tomlin, who's supposed to be shucking out twice as much.
Right.
Oh, man. But considering that he has a Russian billionaire as a as an owner, maybe he's being compensated fairly well.
Yeah, I bet he is. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I love this story. It's just, this is the kind of circus that I enjoy, you know. It's just such a weird thing to do, and I don't know, it's funny. So.
Yeah, no, I guess I like the weird things more than I like the, just a pile on the doggy rabbit kind of stories.
Sure.
Like,
I'll agree with that, that's fair.
That whole stupid, who was the, Manti Te'o story?
Yep.
It was a weird one. I'm just like, what the fuck is going on here?
Right. Yes.
Like, I guess I do like the weird ones, and I just thought that the kid one was just kind of weird and dumb and fun.
Yep.
You know, no one had to, like, get on their high horse to bash him. They're just kind of calling him out for being a clown, and that's...
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And that's fine.
Right.
Oh man, yeah, no, that one is quite funny.
Yeah. One of the highlights of this season so far in basketball. So, but your team is the Thunder because of Steven Adams. Give me 20 seconds on Steven Adams.
Yeah, no, I have not seen Steven Adams play ever since that, because we did an audio the one time I watched them play.
Yep.
Okay. And I have not watched since whichever show that was. I have not, because it's a, they're only on Fox, Fox Oklahoma and KGW, which must be the Portland station. You know what? I actually did, since I do pay attention to some college basketball, and
sure.
Speaking of Adams, they kind of mentioned in some ways they're like, is Pitt better off for not having him in their lineup?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, of course you're not going to refuse a 7-foot giant.
Right.
And even the coach is just like, we just have a different team if he was here. Like,
he's like,
I can't compare this team to what a team would look like with him here because I would do things differently.
Totally different style of play. Mm-hmm.
And everyone, at least on the early going here, since Pitt's 8-1 now, and they beat Penn State last night.
Okay.
They just think that everyone, they kind of have some better shooters this year, and they have a little bit of a smaller lineup. But everyone thinks they have a pretty good mix to do well this year.
Okay.
So that was kind of interesting. That's the only thing that I have on Steve Adams, because I remember them showing his stats. What he's getting, I think he's getting 18 minutes. Because I'm actually recollecting this. I don't know. I guess he's doing okay, like 8.7 boards or something like that.
Okay.
I think he's doing okay. I'm actually now realizing that I could pull it up too, rather than just
whatever. Do you expect the research on this show? Oh, please.
Um Okay, there we go. See, well, and it's it was easy to pull up because it's my favorite writer. So,
mm-hmm.
4.6 points and 5.1 rebounds, 18 minutes a game.
Okay,
and that's not too bad for someone that they thought everyone thought. Well, and I guess that's the other reason why it's still a bit of a bone of contention for Pitt. Is that everyone thought because he hadn't played, he'd only played 2 or 3 years of basketball, something like that.
Okay.
One here in the U.S. and then the 1 year for Pitt. Everyone thought he should stay the extra year. So, I mean, there's
sure.
still kind of that air about the team, especially with it being early in the season.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, the NBA is still a bit of a jump. Like, I guess I'm not that offended. Like, because I remember someone making the argument that the year delay or 2 years delay isn't a bad thing because the players develop in college and
right.
then are more suited to play in the NBA after that.
Absolutely.
And it's kind of hard to argue.
I would rather have them be more experienced, you know, because it's a hard leap for a 4-year senior, you know. So having like a high school kid, it's just such a culture shock. So it's probably better he gets a year or two in.
I guess I just always kind of agreed with that because they,
mm-hmm.
because the other argument is, well, look at the NFL, they let, you know, guys go 3 years, and
right.
and then that's when they finally let them in. And most of those guys that are rookies that can do well, do well.
Yep.
Like, it isn't, because Adams might just not be, you know, it might be a part of his growing process.
Sure.
Here to kind of play some lower minutes this year. So, you know, maybe he could have spent more time at Pitt, but, I mean, he's obviously contributing to the team. So
absolutely.
I guess that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. They're a good team anyway, so that's exciting.
And, because I just pulled up the game. He's got 11 minutes, 4 points. 5 rebounds, so.
Okay.
Almost along the average there. He needs, Yeah, he's at the average, 4 points and
yep.
5 rebounds.
And they have a really good front line, so they don't need him, you know, to play big minutes this season. It's a perfect situation for him. He can watch Ibaka and Durant and learn from them. And grow over the years and eventually probably take over as the starting center. So, yeah, it's a lot better than being thrown onto, like, the Pelicans or something and having to start right away and suffering through, like, an 80-loss season or whatever, you know? So, good spot for him.
Yeah, and I guess it looks like the Trailblazers. I guess that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
I watched the NBA a lot when I was younger, but not so much recently. And
sure.
fun to see the Trailblazers at 15-3. Jesus.
They're surprising everyone. No one thought they'd be this good. So that's always cool to see a team come out of nowhere.
Yeah, I guess
and
I always...
Portland's kind of a cool town. Good fans. So nice to
yeah,
see.
Yeah, no... Again, the old school stuff, Clyde Drexler and Terry Porter.
Oh, yeah.
And
Kevin Duckworth.
Yeah.
Rolling the middle, baby.
How dare I forget about him?
Uh-huh. Sorry, that was Sports Tourette's there. As again in a Duckworth mention, I apologize.
Oh, no apologies should be mentioned.
Right
the apology
right
we
on.
Should have is not mentioning Kevin Duckworth anymore.
I agree.
Um, So yeah, no, I guess that's kind of cool. Plus, I always kind of did like that logo. I think it's kind of snappy for whatever.
Love it, love it. Absolutely the best logo in basketball. I bought their hat just for the logo. So.
Yeah, that was certainly something I used to do a lot of. I would wear hats as teams that I didn't like just because I kind of like their logo.
Yep. That's exactly what I do. Mm-hmm. So.
And don't really do that so much these days.
No, but, right.
Although
I don't wear a hat anymore. I got to start wearing hats again.
Yes. I have a pretty obnoxious Kent State hat, so.
Mm-hmm. the hat is obnoxious?
Well, it looks like it's kind of like a 70s kind of a theme where there's a white, an iridescent kind of yellow, and then like the school yellow on a blue hat.
Okay.
And it kind of has a 70s retro look to it, and I just think it's kind of obnoxious having flashes on there three consecutive times.
Okay.
In three different colors. It's the same kind of font. Well, and the font's kind of similar to the way the Trailblazers have their symbol to pull that in. You know how they kind of have the separated lines? Well,
mm-hmm.
each letter is made up of three lines. So, I mean, it's kind of a similar kind of a thing.
That sounds glorious, actually.
Yeah, there's that, and the Pirates hat is still just sticking around. I stuck it out in the bad times, and it's going to keep on getting worn.
You did.
So, well, fuck it. I mean, I don't know. I don't really feel like talking wrestling. You didn't feel like talking wrestling, and
I was too busy talking about anything else.
I feel like we're at a good stopping point because I don't I guess I don't have anything else unless I guess and I always do ask you if you have anything else.
Well, wait. Ask me if I want to talk about wrestling. Just ask me real quick.
Okay, Dusty, would you like to talk about wrestling?
Nope.
Okie dokie. Well, considering that everything was the same as last week. There is no reason to change things because nobody got mic time.
No. Mm-mm.
And the people that did get mic time didn't give anything away.
Nope. And the Miz still eat a sandwich.
I'm going to bring up at least this topic. I can't believe that Daniel Bryan didn't get any mic time.
Right?
I mean...
How is that possible?
That, to me, was the biggest omission. Like, I'm just like...
Yep.
So he was dumped outside in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to comment on it. He's just going to come out for a match.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
He's not going to be like so many of those guys that have a match and then yap after it or give him a backstage segment with everyone's new favorite backstage reporter, Renee Young.
I
can't believe I didn't really mention any more of it in my review.
No, you're absolutely right. That's ridiculous.
But, that omission is probably the thing that I will remember the most about that Raw.
Yep. Me too. And that's not a good thing. They keep making these mistakes. It's really annoying.
Yeah, and I wasn't terribly surprised that it was listed today on .net there is the lowest... lowest rated Raw of the year.
Right. Now we're deep in the heart of football season, and you know that's part of it. And the booking hasn't really been all that spectacular, and that's part of it. And yeah, no, it's not surprising.
Mm-mm. Yep, and and then our favorite thing too. The goddamn overrun.
They have 3 hours.
They have 3 hours and 5 minutes, and they somehow even went past the 10-minute mark again. I was just like, fuck off. Like, are you kidding me?
Right, right. Fuck off. The perfect. That just sums up what I feel about them right now. Just fuck off. No, that's a fitting way to end this audio, actually. Hey, WWE, fuck off.
Excelente. At Stunt Granny, at Dusty Giebink, at DeFrango 11, at Granny Mays, at Never Heard From in Iowa. Email, comments, and Facebook, which it seems to be where everyone comments anyway. So, I mean, I don't know if we really need to push that one.
Right.
And I think if I have, I certainly do not have the time to have a sippy time beer right now. It's just flat out time to go to bed.
Yep.
So I am out of here, and I will let you sign off.
All right. Well, for Kevin DeFrango and for it being after people's bedtime, this is Dusty Giebink. We will try to get better next time.
Yeah.